this is the final call for all international passengers. Please have your passports ready and proceed to...
So we're going somewhere, well, a little bit less dangerous now, but perhaps only a little bit. We're going to Pakistan, where the Prime Minister would right now be hearing a lot of this. No, it's not a party. These are actually protests. There are demonstrations demanding the Prime Minister's resignation. They've been going on for almost 2 weeks now. The 15th of August is when they started. What is the city like at that moment? Joining me to tell me is Nosheen Abbas, who's a resident and also a journalist. She's on the Skype machine. Nosheen, what is it like at the moment?
Well, it's only a part of the city which has actually been taken over by protesters. It's called the Red Zone, which is near the parliament, it's near embassies, it's near the diplomatic enclave. And there are people there who have been camping overnight on the green belts. And it's very difficult to get in because they've got roads that are blocked by containers. In fact, a lot of entry routes into Islamabad are blocked by containers. And the rest of the city has been disrupted because of these protests.
Oh, the whole city's been disrupted, even though it's fairly contained?
Definitely, yes.
What sort of disruption?
Well, because of security reasons, they've blocked a lot of streets. And so to get, for example, to get to the Red Zone, you have to find little alleys and little ways to get in. You can't just drive through, and there are a lot of police that have been deployed in the city from different areas, actually, of the country. And schools have been shut down. Offices, to a large extent, are either shut or just functioning half day. So that's basically how it's been disrupted.
So I'm interested in knowing how the non-protesters feel about all of this. And I know you spoke to one man who had something very interesting to say.
Everyone is creating rubbish, and by nature, that we Pakistani just create rubbish. No one tried to pick it. And when I see these things, to be honest, I feel like so sad. This is our country, and we have to clean it. We have to clean it.
Yeah, the rubbish. Who would have thought? Now, you spoke to him for the BBC, so thank you very much for lending that to us. But does that reflect the way that most of the non-protesters feel about the protesters?
Well, this, bless his soul, this man was, he actually came from Australia, in fact, and he came here and was at the protests. And I think he believed in the political cause, but he was there also because he felt very strongly about the way, you know, the environment was being affected. Do the rest of the people in the city feel like that? I'm not sure. I think they have other problems that they're dealing with. One, their kids not being able to go to school. Two, not being able to go to a lot of different places. Also, another thing that's also been happening is food supply. The prices have gone up because since there have been containers put on the main expressway, which leads people into Islamabad, people were told right from the beginning that the protests are going to start. Guys, stock up on food, on you know, basics. And the prices have gone up.
And life for the protesters isn't necessarily terribly comfortable. So again, when you're working for the BBC, you spoke to a few of the protesters about the conditions that they're in at the moment. This is what they said.
Actually, we are living on roads, as you can see this. Living conditions are too much tough for us. We have food, we have water, but like, we have no bathroom here. We have no any digging place. There is no place for washrooms.
I have come from China for this Azadi March, and nowadays I'm living near the container, and I and my friends, we are sleeping on the ground. And if there is anything, like the food is given by the administration, the water is given by the administration as well. There is a bit problem of the washrooms, but still we can manage, and hopefully it will be better tonight, I think so.
Obviously, they're very passionate, people coming from as far as China, and I understand it's not great if you don't have access to washrooms, but they are protesting. What were they expecting exactly?
Well, actually, I spoke to another girl, and she also said, look, revolutions don't happen on a bed of roses. You know, obviously, we knew it's going to be tough. So I think they obviously had some idea of the fact that it wasn't going to be easy. There are also a lot of protesters who do have friends in the city, so they get to go to their friends' houses or relatives' houses. But it's. I think they were there and they were prepared for this because I've seen women lying on the ground under a tent connected to a drip. People there in ambulances, there's small ambulances with medicines, although it's obviously very haphazard. And I saw people, while I was standing near the ambulance, I saw people, the protesters coming, getting some drips. eardrops being put in their ear, getting random medicines. So it's, I genuinely feel like it's not like they didn't know how it was going to be. But obviously, once you're in it, it's not pleasant either.
No, not easy at all. And that's part of the struggle, which brings us to the struggle. And we should talk about that. Give us the political context to these protests.
So basically, the rally leaders and opposition figures, Imran Khan and Tahirul Qadri, are there with slightly different objectives. However, their objectives do also overlap when it comes to the resignation of the Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif and also alleged rigging in the 2013 elections. And also, it's interesting to point out, though, that when the system looks fragile or vulnerable, people do strike. And I think this is the moment that they've chosen and they've seen that it's possible to do that.
So they really feel that there is a chance that their protest could get somewhere here?
Well, I don't know. I think they're just so adamant. And they've constantly said that we are not going to leave until the Prime Minister resigns, which is something that's obviously unconstitutional. It's not like he's a government servant who can just leave for 30 days. They can investigate the rigging and then he can come back if it was okay. It's an interesting situation, but they're very adamant. You can definitely see their dedication, their persistence, their stubbornness, their inflexibility, despite talks. So yeah, they do look very dedicated.
Well, so how would this work, though? Would the military ultimately have to eject the Prime Minister, effectively a coup, and we're back in the Musharraf era?
Now, that's something that a lot of people have been fearing, but the military itself does not want to enter. There's a war going on in North Waziristan right now against the Taliban. There are issues on the border with India, the LOC. There are things to deal with in Afghanistan. This is not something they want. The army does not want to step in. But however, if people are also, on the other hand, losing patience. So if things could get really bad, if there's violence, then it's possible that the military steps in.
And is this
but not,
working?
Not in the form of a coup, by the way. Not in the form of a coup, but just to step in and fix the situation.
So is this having an impact socially? Like, if you just walk around the streets of Islamabad, are people having lots of conversations about this? Has it raised these concerns to the point of being really on the political agenda?
Yes, definitely. I mean, people are glued to their TV screens. I was speaking to some people. I'm like, are you sleeping all right? They're like, no, we're not. We're waking up early. We're staying up late because we're just glued to the TV. We're so anxious. We're trying to figure out what's happening now. What's happening now? People are very anxious. People are talking about it. People are also getting sick of it. They're kind of like, you know, it's been happening for 2 weeks. Come on, let's just get back to normal life. But there's no doubt in the fact that it has gripped the entire country and everyone is glued to their screens.
Completely understand why that would be the case. And of course, it's not a genuine protest if there aren't protest songs. We're about to go out with one. I think it's the official song for Imran Khan's party, the PTI, Banai Gay Naya Pakistan. I think it is. What is this song about?
This is one of the songs. So some very famous singers have been supporting Imran Khan, but Naya Pakistan, which is a slogan for PTI, Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, Imran Khan's political party, Naya Pakistan is something that they've been constantly saying, Naya Pakistan, which means new Pakistan, meaning everything which exists right now in terms of corruption, in terms of, you know, the way people are struggling in the city or in the country economically, that will change, everything will change and it will be a new Pakistan. So that's basically the slogan of the song.
It does have that revolutionary ring to it. Well, we'll have a listen to it as we head towards the news. Nosheen, thank you very much for joining us again. Good to speak.
Thank you.
Islamabad resident and journalist Nosheen Abbas speaking to us there via Skype. We'll play that song in just a sec. News up very soon after the 7 o'clock news. We're going to meet the man who was the ambassador, the American ambassador to Iraq in 2009 and 2010. He's now in academic guise, so he can say whatever he wants, and he's going to tell us whether or not there will be expanded military engagement in Syria and Iraq and whether or not Australia will ultimately get involved in that. So stay tuned for that. But let's go out with this song, the official song for Imran Khan's party, the PTI, Banai Gay Naya Pakistan. जब आएगा इमरान सबकी जान
Pakistan,